Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Todd Tomasella. This is a particularly fascinating look at the cross, talking about the fascination. The Red Sea is an example. Pharaoh and his army hurried into the sea to destroy God's vulnerable people, but Satan's army were the ones drowned. Moses and the people were placed by God into a position of extreme vulnerability, death in the sea or by the army. Have you ever felt that you're in that position? Wow. But the Israelites were delivered. This is another picture of the cross. Jesus made himself vulnerable to Satan, but Satan was the one defeated there. Amen, Brother Travis. This is a great article. I love it. The biblical pictures, the illustrations here are just abundant.
Right.
And
well, thank you, Brother. The cross and living the cross lifestyle is that we have to be willing to trust God for our protection, which means laying down self-protection. And, of course, self-protection, self-preservation is the greatest human instinct, natural instinct that we have. And the gospel works totally opposite to that. It is a dying to self-protection and a willingness to be vulnerable in the natural, trusting in God's protective hedge around us. And this lures Satan in to destroy himself. When you take up the cross and are willing to be vulnerable, Satan will attack and he will destroy himself in that process. And so when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 that our weapons are divine, not carnal, that means that this type of weapon, the cross, is the divine weapon, that we destroy Satan through vulnerability, that we win the battle through surrender, and we conquer death through dying. This is a paradoxical way to victory, Todd.
Winning by losing, is that right, brother?
Absolutely. In order to gain life, John chapter 12, verse 24, we have to lose our life. Now, in the Greek, the two words for life there, which are translated the same in English, are different. We have to lose our psuche life, P-S-U-C-H-E, which is the natural life, the self-life. We have to lose our self-life in order to gain Zoe, Z-O-E, that is the divine life, or life eternal, or the life of the ages.
Amazing, amazing. You know, I got to tell you, I don't understand all this, but I kind of get butterflies when we're talking about this, Brother Travis. It's extremely exciting in one sense and scary in another. I say that's because we've had control of our lives from birth.
Absolutely. And of course, even those that are moral and doing good things and living in a religious way, we're not talking about drunks and thieves and prostitutes here, even the good guys. And of course, the good guys are the ones that had the most trouble with this, have got to give up control and surrender. The good part of you has to die.
That's such an important truth right there. You know, it's like the religious system sometimes that we're a part of, with not necessarily anybody's personal intention, becomes the buoyancy by which we're upheld. That can be very dangerous because, you know, we really do need to swim lest we sink. Another illustration that comes to mind, brother, and you may want to chime in on this, You know, when you were a child, 3 or 4 years old, and you were on the side of the pool, and your dad was in the pool, you knew you could trust daddy, right? I mean, you knew you could jump off into that water, right into daddy's arms. And how would that relate to our relationship with the Lord?
Well, first of all, this death that is kind of like falling, jumping off into a pool is scary because you can drown in there, you can die in there, you can't defend yourself in there. A little child can't swim well enough. And so you're trusting the catcher. You're trusting the father there who you can see and who you know. But this Christian fall and surrender is a lot worse than that, actually, because you cannot see God in the physical, but we trust him.
Yeah.
And so we're willing to fall. Todd, our life situations come to us. We walk out into the world, and the circumstances of life cause us to collapse into God or fall into God. We do not climb up religiously into God. We fall or collapse or sink down into him. And that is something, it's something we almost cannot even choose to do. It has to just happen to us.
Yeah.
Which brings me to another statement. Salvation is not something we do. That's religion.
Amen.
Salvation is something that happens to us. It is not something we achieve. It's something we receive.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautiful. You know, some people, I've learned the cross through the Spirit and the Word, and especially as far as men go, I've never had anybody in my life like you, and I can't express how grateful I am to, even though I'm in the embryonic stages, learning that cross is central to the Christian faith, and find myself as a result of learning, you know, this myself, to share with people that I talk to on a daily basis. They say, I'm going to try harder. I find myself sharing with them, we need to learn how to not try harder, but just die harder, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Lay it down. That's right. And that doesn't take any effort. It doesn't take any effort to fall. It takes faith to fall.
You know, a number of years ago, I had a young lady. Her and I were really interested in each other, a wonderful Christian lady. And it was my birthday. And, you know, talking about vulnerability, that's the topic today, ladies and gentlemen. And it was my birthday. So she came. She said, I'm going to come over and pick you up. And so she came by my place. I walked out, and she blindfolded me. I guess she sat me in the car first or blindfolded me right when I walked out the door and then walked me to a car. We were both laughing. And, I mean, you know, I've never been walking around blindfolded in my life. And she put me in the car and she took me to this restaurant that wasn't but across the street here in Dallas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a main street. But anyway, I mean, it felt like, I mean, I experienced every feeling of the turn, the maneuvering of the car, the laugh. I mean, it's just incredible, the experience. I don't know how to put that into words, but I was vulnerable there. I was having to trust somebody else, knowing her, the heart she had. I had no doubt that there wasn't any foul play or anything going on. I mean, she was laughing, giddy, and just the most trustworthy person you're going to meet. And so that's what comes to mind. But it was, tell you the truth, Brother Travis, it was quite I was out of control, if you will, kind of loving it.
Yes, and that's what, you know, the Christian life has a flow to it, and we're called in faith to go with that flow, and that flow is going to take us sometimes into turbulent waters that Satan stirs up, storms that he's behind, the sea on, like the Sea of Galilee. You know, this cross is pictured in the Bible in many ways, like storms, wilderness, a crucible of the furnace of fire and Daniel, the Red Sea, the flood of Noah. I mean, it's all over the Bible. All these crucibles of transformation.
Think about the three Hebrew children there. I think it's third or fourth chapter of Daniel that you mentioned there, brother. The only thing, I mean, here they are getting thrown into the fire. I mean, you talk about vulnerability and trust the Lord as they declare they were going to trust God no matter what. Now, that's key right there. The only thing that they lost was the things that bound them. Isn't that amazing?
The things that bound them, and of course, the things that bind us are our own self. The old self is what binds us, this old sin nature. We're bound by that. King James Version says they fell down bound. I love that phrase. See there the fall, and they fall into this crucible of fire. trusting God in that moment, and they're brought up. Now, who is destroyed in that? Who was destroyed? The very people who put them in there, you see. The one who had the power of death was destroyed. That's Hebrews 2:14.
Yes. You know, you mentioned that verse throughout this post. It's just fascinating to me, and I'm going to read it. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And perhaps this is a resurrection, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
That's it, right there. That it is through death that death is destroyed. Through the cross that all the victories come to the Christian. And sadly, the cross is not preached anymore in this way, so Christians never access true resurrection life and power. Let me say for the listeners, resurrection is not just for the sweet by and by at the end of your life or at the end of time. Resurrection is for every day. We can't live the Christian life without resurrection life and power. This life of God is accessed only through the cross. It's only through the cross moments that we can live. Don't run from these things. Embrace these adversities and oppositions and crucibles of fire and lion's den. It's amazing how the lion's den pattern in Daniel 6 is very much like the fiery furnace in Daniel 3. The same pattern of the cross you see in both chapters.
Vulnerable, huh? There's Daniel in the midst of a bunch of hungry lions. Whew. That in the picture,
and that's
huh?
why the Lord said, I want you to be sheep or lambs in the midst of wolves, because he's speaking of this principle of the cross. Walk out into the world and allow yourself to be attacked, and I will bring great things out of it. I will bring transformation and testimony. Look at the result of the testimony that occurred with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the end of that incident, and the testimony of Daniel at the end of that. They are promoted and given a position of proclamation. They are honored, and of course that is the resurrection side of the cross there, Todd.
Amen. Just like Philippians 2, which I was reading this morning about how God had highly lifted up Jesus after he laid down his life. You know, a couple of paragraphs too that stand out that I've been looking at in this vulnerability post. As you can tell by this message already, this is absolutely central to the Christian life, the cross, and that's not being preached, as Brother Travis said a minute ago, and as Paul foretold, that there would be enemies of the cross of Christ, and they may claim to be representing Christ, but they're really his enemies because they refuse to preach his cross, to lay down life. That's what Jesus demanded. He said, if you're not willing to lose all, you're not worthy. Luke's kind of easy to remember as far as address goes. Luke 14:33 and 17:33. Paramount statements of Jesus we rarely hear mentioned in the modern church world. Folks, we got to be careful, and we got to come out from among them in the sense of reading the Bible and taking God at his word. Now, Brother Travis, here in a couple of paragraphs down about the middle of the post, it says, one reason we are to be sheep in the midst of wolves is to become a baited hook for evil to bite into and thereby destroy itself.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, that's amazing. Go ahead. Do you want to talk to that?
Yes, that is a great principle of the cross, is that God does not destroy Satan. He allows Satan to destroy himself through the cross.
Oh,
what was the greatest, the worst moment in the history of the world was the greatest moment in the history of the world, the cross of Christ.
You listed 1 Corinthians 2:8, Brother Travis, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
The word right there.
Go ahead. You want to talk to that a little bit?
That, Yeah, I mean, Satan is a dupe. I don't know why he doesn't get it, but he continues to fall into this trap. And the things he does come around and fall on his own pate, as it says. And he sets a trap or a pit for people to fall in, and he's the one that falls into it. So he destroys himself. It's a house divided that cannot stand. Satan's kingdom divides against itself and cannot stand through the cross.
Yeah. It's like Haman, you know, Haman's gallows. He created those gallows to
destroy the
people of God, but he was the only one, I think him and his family, that were hung on those gallows. Isn't that amazing? That's a picture of how Satan is destroyed by the devices that he creates for the children of God. You know, this is an incredible perspective for our lives, Brother Travis, that the next time Satan seems to have you in a corner, you can bet God's got a plan. He's orchestrating and allowing these things. He's working together for the good to those that love him and are the called according to his purpose. And he's going to bring it out in his favor and in our favor. You know, the next verse here in 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." You know, I've never tied that together with the cross and the previous words here. That's very interesting, Brother Travis. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. That is the resurrection side of it right there. We cannot comprehend the blessing that we'll find on the other side of the cross. But once Amen. You taste it, Todd, once you get a little taste of it, you start to walk out this cross pattern of life, and you taste the resurrection side, it becomes much more a way to go, an instinctual thing as you go on with it. At first, it's just it's impossible. I mean, you have to almost be torn away from your natural reaction and put into this by God. And then once you experience it, it becomes easier and easier to do. You see it as the absolute way to walk out your life. Every thought, every action, every word is centered in the cross. Do I do it all the time? No, I still succumb to the flesh every day. But I know this way of the cross is the way.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm going to tell you on a personal level, that's why you're never going to get rid of me, brother, as long as you're preaching this message.
I don't want to.
Feel it.
God, I appreciate it.
Oh, I know. That's one of the greatest things that has drawn me to you and how I could not get away, because this message is so vital, saints, as I know many of you are sensing right now. I cannot put that into words, and I'm not even going to be foolish enough to try to. You know, Brother Travis, we've got a few more minutes left here. In the last couple of days, it's been occurring to me how, you know, we're born in sin, and we naturally live out our lives until the cross is introduced into our lives. We live out our lives according to the dictates of the flesh and what pleases us. And it began to occur to me that's all you got to do to establish a successful, quote-unquote, church in the modern world today, modern church. That would mean, you know, you're growing and you're flourishing and you got the coffee rolling and the smoke rolling off the stage and people are happy with you and you got the big screens and all that stuff. And your business, your church business, but that's what it's become in a lot of cases, is flowing. All you got to do is not introduce this cross, Brother Travis, and not interrupt the natural flow of how people have been living their whole life. The guy that says, "Fellas, we got to die." Jesus said, "You must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You must lose your life
to gain it."
That's the guy that they're going to run from, because that's different than the natural flow of life, of just living your life by the dictates of the flesh and doing what's natural to the depraved man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Now, brother, and we've got just a few minutes. Would you like to speak any to that?
Well, I think, you know, the gospel, and here it is, afflicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted. Now, if you're down low and you're afflicted, you're not prone to run from this message. It'll draw you. But if you're living high and mighty and in control and you have plenty of money and you're comfortable, then this gospel is going to afflict you. And when you're afflicted, you'll either walk toward that affliction or it'll drive you away. And, of course, most people in America are comfortable more than anywhere else in the world. So this This message does not appeal to them, but it resonates with those that are on the bottom, Todd, the down and out, the maimed, the lepers, the sick, the poor. Those are the people that hear this message, Todd.
You know, what verse comes to mind here? You're talking about money, and we've discussed this before. When you got money, you can just throw it at the legal system and get an attorney and get yourself out of it. If you got a medical problem, you throw the money there and the doctors fix you. You know, any problem you have, you can pretty much insulate yourself from a vast amount of the trouble that it would otherwise cause. Listen to James 1, 9, and 10. This is excellent. I want you to chime in here, brother, in our last few seconds.
Okay.
Let the brother of low degree, I think that's dealing with a poor man, rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. That's interesting.
Exactly.
The brother that is of low degree is a poor guy, right, that has to trust God, and that's the riches of life right there.
Exactly. Oh, that is the principle right there, Todd. Exactly.
Reading the Bible has become a new adventure since we met, and I've been able to be attuned through the teachings of the cross to begin to see it encoded from Genesis to Revelation. And ladies and gentlemen, we're just kind of getting started here. The wealth of wisdom here is just going to be inexhaustible from the Lord and one of his precious servants. And Brother Travis, got about 30 seconds. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, you know, Todd, thank you for letting me be on the program. Romans 8, 36 and 37. In 36, we're being killed all day long like sheep being led to the slaughter. But in 37, we're more than conquerors. You see the death there in 36, but the more than conquerors in 37, Todd, through the cross.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors, ladies and gentlemen, but we have to lose our life to gain them. Jesus can be trusted. He is the resurrection and the life. If we will lay it down in obedience to him, because we worship and love him more than ourselves, he will reciprocally raise us up. We can trust him. Father, in Jesus' name, seal this word in our hearts. Unite our hearts to fear thy holy name and teach us thy ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.